Proudly presented by Provident Payments, this is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our conversation with 97-year-old Vic Walters of San Diego, California. Originally from north of the border in Ontario, Canada, he grew up along the border of New Hampshire and Massachusetts. And 5 days after graduating from high school, he joined the Navy in June 1942. Vic served as an aerial gunner in PBYs, PB4Y2s, which were a Navy version of B-24s, and later even in PBMs. And when we left off, he had mentioned Admiral Bull Halsey and some of the time he spent around Halsey on Bougainville, even seeing some of the American fighter planes that participated in Operation Vengeance, the shooting down of Pearl Harbor mastermind Isoroku Yamamoto's plane in April 1943.
When we went back there with Halsey, we had fighter planes going back and forth all the time. So Halsey went on to all kinds of stuff later on in the war.
Well, the most recent movie they made about Midway has Halsey in there and shows some of the real history about how the basement office at Pearl Harbor cracked the code to know where Midway was and also contributed to that shoot down of Yamamoto's plane. But are you saying Halsey was on your guy's plane?
Yes. We took him up, dropped him off at Green Island.
Yeah.
And stayed there half a day or so, and then we flew back. And I remember when we flew back, there was fighter planes going past our plane all the time.
When you said that about the natives, he was telling you not to evacuate some of the wounded natives with your plane? Is that what you were saying?
He told us, the natives are leaving right now, and you can stay there, but you can't help them. They're going to put them on a ship and send them somewhere immediately.
What was your impression of Admiral Halsey?
I was taller than he was.
Well, you're 6'1".
Yeah, he was probably 5'10 or 11.
Does that make you a little nervous when you got the top brass around?
No. We made that cruise, and our squadron disbanded, and it came back and went to, they put us in B-24s. In August of 1944, we got into B-24s, and that's when I became a plane captain.
So with the PBYs, where would you be on the plane? Where was your gunner position?
I was an aerial gunner on the port waist.
So the port side waist gun.
Yeah.
So what would you be firing at if the opportunity came?
I remember we were flying around, so we were firing at something on the ground, and I remember I was giving it enough lead and so forth, so I was doing pretty good. And the pilot said, "Hey, you're a pretty good gunner."
There were some other missions in which you'd be firing at aerial targets, and I'm up for hearing about any of them, but I know that one of them was over Singapore on June 1st, 1945. You were flying with VPB 111 out of Palawan in the Philippines. What do you remember about that mission?
On June 1st, 1945, the day before, I was the plane captain. I was a second-class aviation machinist mate. And I wasn't the most senior. We had a radioman who was a first class. But anyway, at 3:30 in the afternoon, they came up and told me, said, "Hey, tell your crew to try to get some sleep because you're going to take off at midnight and you're going to Singapore. And the other plane is going to Singapore with you. And you'll meet up over Singapore at daybreak in the morning. And he's going to take pictures of all the Japanese planes and so forth."
This is a reconnaissance mission?
Sort of, yeah. He was going to take pictures of all the planes around Singapore. So we go up the coast, maybe 15 miles or so, and there's a whole bunch of planes taking off. I remember there's four of them taking off side by side, and then you know, maybe we're doing 200 miles an hour. All of a sudden, one of them goes zoom, just like that. I could see him going up ahead of us, and he went up ahead of us, and then he turned around and came back. And when he came back, he was firing. Now, remember, there was He was firing out of his left wing and his right wing and firing at us. And I thought, you know, we've got more guns than he does. We're going to shoot him down. But I was wrong, because he came right in between the two of us and he hit the other plane and the number three engine. And boy, right away the plane's on fire. But anyway, after a while, they shut the engine off. So effectively, he's flying on one and two engine, and number three's completely out. And number four, every time they turned the engine on, it caught fire.
So he had to feather those two props?
What?
He had to feather two of his four engines?
Yeah, one of them was completely out, and the other, every time they turned it on, it would catch fire. So I remember I looked, and there he was going away from us, and I thought, you know, maybe we'd hit him or something, but we hadn't done anything to him at all. We were at 11,000 feet then, and remember the other plane was flying on one and two engines, and the plane was going steadily down all the time, and we stayed with him.
Which is dangerous, because you're making yourselves vulnerable too.
Yeah.
To stay with that crippled B-24, but you're giving them some protection?
Sort of, yeah. And then this plane, the Japanese, what they would do is they would come in from the port side and attack below. They'd come up from below and then shoot you down. And they had two planes, two guns shooting at you, and you'd only have one shooting at them. So the guy's coming in at me, and I could see that he was coming in. So I had the plane. I was shooting a little bit high at him. So it ends up he's coming in from the left-hand side down below, and I'm shooting at him before he's shooting at me. So he's coming in, and I'm shooting kind of high. But eventually, he wasn't shooting at me anymore, so I may have shot him down. I'm not sure. But anyway, he was gone. We never saw him again. So I may have shot him down.
So he's flying up at you, just like you've been warned how they would try to take out a B-24 like yours.
Yes, yes. They would come in at the on the left side and come in below and fire at us.
And you can see the flashes from his wings. You know he's firing at you.
Oh, yeah. I know he's firing at me. But I was firing at him, too.
So you're in the waist?
Yes.
Firing away?
With one gun.
Uh-huh.
And he's firing at me with two. So I'm shooting at him a little bit high. And apparently I may have hit him, because pretty soon he's gone. And I never see him again. So we may have shot him down.
How close do you think that enemy plane got to your bomber?
Maybe he came in maybe about 2,000 or 3,000 feet, and he came probably 1,000 feet or so.
And the only reason you don't know whether or not you shot him down is all of a sudden that plane was gone.
Yes.
And you couldn't find it anywhere.
I didn't know.
So you couldn't confirm the shoot down because you couldn't see him on fire or going down.
No.
What happened to the other B-24 you guys have been flying with?
We're following him along, but see, he's flying on one and two engines, and he's going steadily down all the time. So finally, we get farther out, and I saw this other plane hit the water, and I told the pilot the other plane just hit the water upside down.
And by the other plane, you mean the other American B-24?
Yes.
Did you see any parachutes before that happened?
No.
That can't be easy to watch.
It was wartime, and hey, you do what you have to do. And I told the pilot, I said, the other plane just hit the water upside down. So he said, is there any, he was watching from the left side, the pilot side, and he saw it. He said, is there any survivors? And I thought, you know, we need to get the hell out of here. So I told him, no survivors, and there was none. So we were going downhill all the time, and the other planes, the Japanese were firing us, but they wouldn't come in too close. So we were firing at them, and that we're going downhill. Finally, we were down. There's some clouds about 1,000 feet, and we ran into them. And I thought they'd come in after us, but they didn't. So we go through the clouds, come out on the other side, and I could see two planes out there. So the tail gunner Shubu was there. So I said, "What did those? Was the two planes?" He said, "Yeah," but he said they didn't come after us, and we were down to about 1,000 feet. So at that time we didn't know, and we knew the other plane had been shot down. So here we are at 1,000 feet, and I didn't know how much gas we had left. So I told the guys in the plane, "Dump all the ammunition and everything out." And we got up and climbed up, and I had forgotten to take the gas from the Bombay tanks and put them into the main tanks. So we transferred the fuel. They opened the Bombay doors and up the tanks, and the gas tanks and so forth. So here we are about 8,000 feet, and boy, I'm, you know, right over the Bombay tanks. It scared the hell out of me. But anyway, they closed the Bombay doors. I told the pilot, I says, "We're short of gas. We're not going to make it too fast." So once we got up to 8,000 feet, he flew along. He met some of the other planes coming out from Palawan and told them that the other plane had been shot down. So we got back there. We had 400 gallons left. And they talked to us. We told them what had happened, how the other plane had been shot down. So we got back there with 400 gallons, and nobody's hurt. And that was June 1st, 1945.
Were you decorated for what you did that day?
Yes. We all got a Distinguished Flying Cross.
The whole crew?
Yes. And the pilot got a Navy Cross.
And so you were awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross because of the intelligence you gathered by taking those photos, or because of your action of shooting down the enemy plane?
Well, they told us, "You guys went in 11,000 feet, and you're shooting at the other plane."
So this Japanese plane has badly damaged this other American bomber that eventually would go down.
Yeah, yeah.
The presumption is that the entire crew was lost on that other bomber.
Yes.
Right?
So the pilot said, I told him the other plane just hit the water upside down. So he said, "Is there any survivors?" And I thought to myself, "Hell no, listen." And so I told him, "There's no survivors." So he heads toward this clouds about 1,000 feet down at the end of Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
And we go into them.
And the Japanese didn't follow.
They didn't follow.
Well, I've got a couple questions. So one, I mean, this is June of 45. So you're still a 21-year-old kid. And, I mean, this is a life-or-death situation. For the crew of that other plane, it meant death. And for you, it could have easily ended that way.
Yeah.
Were you scared?
No.
Were you nervous?
Probably.
And what would have happened to your crew if you didn't shoot that Japanese plane down, if he had continued to pursue your bomber?
Yeah. We would have got shot down.
That seems pretty clear in your mind?
Yes, because he came in on us with two guns, and I'm shooting at him with one.
Right.
And I'm shooting at him, but for some reason I'm shooting kind of over his head and so forth. So apparently I was also, maybe I hit him and he didn't come all the way in because he disappeared.
If that plane had not disappeared, we might not be having this conversation. It's break time again, but there's more to come with 97-year-old Navy veteran Vic Walters. If you head over to hometownheroesradio.com, you'll find a photo of Vic and the rest of his crew from that Navy bomber the day they were decorated with the Distinguished Flying Cross. Vic shared the story of that fateful mission from his perspective, but there's another element of that story that is yet to be told, and we'll touch on that before we're done. Hometown Heroes will be right back after this. Do you ever have those moments where you realize you've been settling for less than the best for far too long? Sometimes we just accept the status quo without looking around for better ways to do things. And I've got to tell you, when it comes to your money, I believe I found a better way with EECU. Take a look at myeecu.org and you'll see why. EECU is not a bank. It's a nonprofit credit union that's all about taking care of you, the member. That's one of the reasons EECU just keeps growing growing and growing. Close to 300,000 members now in 10 different California counties. Over 30,000 ATMs, free mobile banking. And what I really love is how EECU always goes above and beyond to serve the community. In 2013, the leadership and generosity of EECU helped establish Central Valley Honor Flight. More than 1,000 veterans now have gotten to see their memorials in Washington, D.C. for free. And that's just one example of the community involvement EECU takes oh so seriously. Pick up the phone and become a member today. 1-800-538-3328. That's 800-538-3328.